Father, we thank you for another day that you've given us that we can come into your house. Father, we thank you for the blessings of salvation. We thank you for the blessing of forgiveness of our sins, not in part, but in all the whole. Father, we thank you that you bore it on Calvary for us. And Father, we thank you that we now have a new relationship with you based on faith. Father, my prayer is simple this morning, that you would preach through me a message that would come from your throne, that would be your words and your thoughts and your ways. And Father, that you would take that and you would put it into our hearts. And Father, if there be one here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be that day that they encounter you and understand their condition before you. Now, Father, have your way with this time now. Strike those words from my mouth that are not from you. And Father, let us hear directly from you. Help our hearts to be opened and our mind to be receptive. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. First of all, when you look at this text and you read it, it's really an Old Testament text. Five different Old Testament verses are used in the four verses that we're going to look at. So it's rather fascinating that the Apostle Paul, it's clear to me, is targeting the Jews here very clearly, very strongly, on the issue of the law and the issue of faith. And so we're going to jump right in. First of all, Paul says, don't live by works. And he speaks of the motivation first. Notice what he says. For is explanatory. And what is Paul explaining? Verses 7 through 9. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So the Apostle Paul here, right at the beginning, is setting down the gauntlet, if you will, in relation to law and relation to faith. It's very, very clear. He says all who rely... I take the word all, meaning probably Jews and Gentiles, but more an issue with the Jews. For all who rely, and the word there, rely, means to possess some type of characteristic of what you are trying to do. In this case, rely on works of the law or task of the law. The word law there is in the Greek is nomo or nomos, which is definitely a reference to the Torah. But here's the thing. This is those who are trying to be right with God based on the law that God gave in the Old Testament. So if you're a Jew in the congregation and you're a Gentile in the congregation, as Paul is writing this and the church would eventually read it, they are understanding the issue with the law is problematic in relation to Christ. Now notice what he says, all who are relying on works of the law are under a curse. The word under means under the control of something. In other words, if you're trying to live by the law, if you're trying to live by all the laws of the Old Testament, particularly the first five books, which is the Torah, you are being controlled by that law. And notice faith is not mentioned here. And he says, you are under a curse, katara. Curse means as opposed to blessing. So for all who are relying on works of the law to put themselves right with God are actually cursed. They are under the control of the law, and therefore they are under a curse. But the big question is the law in and of itself a curse? No. No, it's not the law that is cursed, because God is holy, God is just, God is the creator. So when God gave the Ten Commandments and he gave the laws, in the Old Testament, they were given to show their relationship with God and their relationship to one another. The law is absolutely holy. The law is perfect because God is the perfect lawgiver. Paul's not arguing that the law is bad or that the law is unholy, because to do so would be to acknowledge the same in God's realm, that God is unholy, God is unjust. God was the one that gave the law, therefore it is holy. That's not Paul's argument, is not to show that the law is bad. Well, what is Paul's argument? He explains the curse, and we talk about Moses and the Ten Commandments, the lawgiver, but I would remind us this morning that the law, the Ten Commandments are not the summation, they're just the summation of the law. They are not all of the laws from the Old Testament. So in other words, when Paul says here, who are relying on the law, he is talking about the entire book of the Torah. Now, so what is this curse? Paul brings it out. Notice what he says here in verse 10. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide in all things written in the book of the law and to do them. Paul here is talking about Deuteronomy 27, 26. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say amen. Here, Paul is bringing out the issue of the law. And cursed be everyone who does not abide in all things written. Not some things, all things. I want to refresh us, refresh our memories this morning. First of all, the law had a sacrificial system. If you can see it up here, you have the burnt offering, which you offered a bull, lamb, or goat, depending on the situation. It could be a male, the dove or pigeon could be male or female. You had a sin offering, you offered a bull, a goat, a lamb. In certain cases, it could be a female. Most cases, it was a male. You had a guilt offering. All of these issues that went into this, over here it was on behalf or for a priest, for the community, for a leader, for an individual. But the fact is, there was a sacrificial system in the law. That's one part of the law. The second aspect of the law dealt with ceremony, such as in Leviticus 14:2. This shall be a law for a leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. There were a lot of ceremonial issues connected to the law. So you have here, you have the sacrificial system, and then you have a cleansing system, and then you have actual moral laws. And there were a bunch of them. There were laws that governed slavery, there were laws that governed personal injury, property, morality, civil obligations, ceremonial obligations, which were part of the moral law. So what you have here, and why this becomes so problematic when we talk about faith, why it becomes so problematic is this. You had to not only live by the sacrificial law, you had to live by the ceremonial law, you also had to live by the moral law. To fail at any one of these means that you were guilty of all of them. And so the Apostle Paul here is not saying that the law is bad. The law is good because it was given by a holy God. The problem is you can't possibly obey everything that was written in the law. Friday, I was coming home from Indianapolis, and was coming from a doctor's visit, coming back home, and I was flipping through the channels on the radio, and I came across a preacher. And I listened to about 15 minutes of the sermon. And the preacher was saying this, that you can obey the law perfectly. I actually had to turn it off because someone kept screaming at the preacher, and then I realized it was me. I absolutely cannot understand, and this pastor took a verse from here, he 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 took a verse from here. I counted 15 verses in 15 minutes. Now, I'm all for cross-referencing. And I'm doing it here simply because the Apostle Paul himself is doing it here. But the fact is, he was twisting the scripture and even used the verse from Peter about those who twist the scriptures towards their own end. I was amazed. And finally, and I can't tell you exactly what I was screaming because that's between me and God, but I will tell you this. That was one of the worst sermons I have ever heard in my life. And the problem is, he is telling his congregation that you can live by law and be obedient to Christ by living the law. No. No. And on a practical sense, when we talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament, you do understand what those words mean. Testament is covenant. Same in the Greek. New covenant. You have an old covenant and you have a new covenant. You cannot reside in both places. Here's the big question, and he said this in his sermon, which is what prompted my discourse with him. Was that you're going to find those who believe that you're not, that you can just throw out the Old Testament. Just because you're not obeying the Old Testament law doesn't mean you throw it out. Brothers and sisters, that's how we learned where our Christian faith comes from the Old Testament. What becomes problematic is thinking that you can obey those laws because you absolutely can't. And then I started screaming this at the pastor, and I realized I need to turn it off. You're not under the law. The law was never given to you, Gentile. He didn't bring Romans into play where Paul says the Gentiles who do not have the law are a law unto themselves by very nature of the things that they do. They did not have the law. That was given to the nation of Israel. That was given to the people of God. We were outside of that. God in his infinite mercy and infinite grace chose to bring us in. And so, yeah, I had to turn it off because I was getting louder and I couldn't even hear myself think. So, anyway, don't live by works. And I want you to understand this morning, I am not saying the law is bad. What I am saying is the curse is this. The curse is not that the law is cursed. The curse is simply this. You cannot obey the law. That's the curse. You can't possibly do everything the law says and be pleasing to God because you're going to show up short. That's the issue. Paul would never say that the law was unholy, ungodly, had no place in the kingdom. That's not the point Paul is trying to make. The point Paul is trying to make is if you're trying to live like this, you're cursed because you can't do it. And therefore, the word katara means opposed to blessing. That means you're not going to be blessed by living by the law. So what's the solution? Well, the solution is live by faith in Christ. Live by faith in Christ. And notice the call here. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by law. This is not the usual word for justified that I've looked at in the book of Galatians and Romans before. This is a different version. Remember, the old justification or justified was acquittal of all charges. This carries alike the same idea, but in the sense where that word justification means that we are totally acquitted of all charges, this word justified that Paul uses is the word to be put right with him. To be made right with God. One justified that he uses in Romans and Galatians means that everything is gone. You are totally acquitted of all charges. But here Paul is using a word that means put right with him. So if you were to read it this way, now it is evident that no one is put right before God by the law. I don't know how many times Paul has to say this. You can't be made right by the law. I don't know if you're familiar with this. This is Cassini. This satellite space shuttle was put up on, I think it was October 1997. Some of the images that we have got back from Cassini, her mission was to go to Saturn and to the moons around Saturn, which we now realize there are two moons. Also that there is a, on the north pole of Saturn, and I'll tell you in a minute what happened to her. But anyway, on the north pole of Saturn, there is a 22,000-mile hurricane that has over 400 miles an hour winds. It is on the north pole. Some of the footage was amazing. What happened was 20 years she's been out there taking pictures of Saturn. And if you get on NASA's website, they are phenomenal. Here is an actual image of Saturn with the color of Saturn. Cassini gave NASA so much information on Saturn, but they still are unable to determine what the rings are. What happened to the spaceship is there was an issue with Titan, and it got bumped off and unfortunately began to run out of gas. So the last day on Friday, about 2:38 p.m. in the afternoon, NASA had the day before said, we're going to end this mission and we're going to let her go and be burned up in Saturn's field. She hit Saturn's atmosphere at 77,000 miles an hour with her antenna turned back to Earth. She is transmitting feverishly the last minute episode of this event. And then, of course, she disintegrated within 2 or 3 minutes of entering Saturn's atmosphere. They think she went down somewhere in one of these rings and was disintegrated. Here's the thing. It took her 7 years to get to Saturn. There's tons of images, beautiful images. The problem is they had to end it. In a lot of ways, that's the Old Testament law too, when you think about it. The law gives us an image of the holiness of God. But it has to end because we can't live up to the holiness of God. It's a shadow of things to come. Although we have a good image of it, we can never get there. Scientists believe there's no way we could ever possibly get to Saturn. But Cassini gave us a picture of Saturn. Just like the Old Testament gives us a picture of God. But in the New Testament, that Old Testament needs to fade to the New Testament. And this is exactly Paul's argument. It is evident that nobody can live by law and be made holy, made perfect. The law gives us a picture of God's holiness and his standard for us, but we are unable to be justified by it before God because none of us can live up to it. Then Paul says the solution is easy. If you can't be justified by law, then the righteous shall live by faith. And by the way, the Apostle Paul quotes Habakkuk 2:4. The righteous shall live by his faith. In other words, your own personal faith in Jesus Christ, or in the Old Testament case, the faith in God and belief in God, to live by God. The word righteousness, dikaios, means to be put right with God. Habakkuk 2:4, live by faith. Here you have the issue of you can't live by law, it has to be by faith. And then he gives, I want to share a quote with you from Levin Strauss, only the man or woman who has been justified through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ can live by faith. Think about it. If you are trying to do good works to get to God and to be accepted by God from works, you're not really living by faith. Only those who have been justified can live by faith. Only those who have been made right by God through the blood of Jesus Christ can live by faith. We are in, if you will, an exclusive club. We are in an exclusive club, meaning that we now have a new system, a new day. And then Paul goes on to add this, the contrast in verse 12. Notice what he says, but the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. I like what Ronald Fung said in his commentary, but while the goal envisioned is the same, faith and law appear as two diametrically opposed and mutually exclusive principles. Paul's point is proved. The law is not based on faith. Here's the deal. You have an old system, an old covenant, where God used the law and the sacrificial, ceremonial, moral aspects of the law to keep a relationship with his people. And then when the New Testament came along and Jesus came, which, by the way, Isaiah writes about, the coming Messiah, we celebrate that every Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And you know the verses. Well, then the New Testament comes along and there is a new issue developing. There is an issue of faith in Jesus Christ. That is where the issue lies. He says here in verse 12, the one who does them shall live by them. Where did he get that? He got that from Leviticus 18. So you have the old covenant, the old way of having a relationship with God, and you have the new covenant, the new way of doing business with God, which is through Jesus Christ. So in other words, For the Jew, they were asked to pry their hands off the old system and embrace Jesus Christ with both hands, embrace him. Not go back under. We don't go back under control of that system, because that system will not get us into a relationship and pleasing relationship with God. This whole thing is by faith. The whole Christian life is lived by faith in Jesus. Because when you get saved, the moment that you get saved, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and goes from there. When you receive, when you trust in Jesus Christ by faith, he implants the Holy Spirit in you, and guess what? That Holy Spirit adopts your spirit in Romans and helps you become more like Jesus each day and less by the world, and this is based on faith. Now, from this faith, obviously, comes works of the Spirit. But it's not you doing the work, it's the Spirit doing it through you. Faith. Love, hope, joy, peace, patience. Those are fruits of the Spirit. So if you, on one end, you're trying to live the law, you are living it apart from the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. On the other end, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, you've already fulfilled the law, because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He was the telos, the end of the law for all who believe. And that pastor that I was screaming at, he brought that in too, but twisted it. Amazing. We live by faith in Jesus Christ, who breaks the curse. Notice what he says. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. The word here, redeemed, means to set free. Christ set us free from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Deuteronomy 21:22 says this, and if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, listen to this. This is kind of important. Deuteronomy 21, 22. And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree. You catching this? The Apostle Paul's using the Old Testament to make the point that you need Jesus. Listen. His body shall not remain all night on the tree. Skip forward a little bit. A man hanged on a tree is cursed by God. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, I want us to understand something that maybe we haven't grasped before. Would you agree with me that Jesus Christ lived the law perfectly and I would say lived everything God thought or meditated on? God, Jesus Christ, lived it perfectly. Would you agree with me on that today? He was absolutely the perfect Lamb. Do you know what happened when Jesus, between the sixth and the ninth hour, when it got dark and Jesus was dying on the cross? Do you know what happened? He put the curse on himself and became like those who could not possibly live by the law. The one who was blessed by God became cursed by God, took our curse. We could not possibly live it. What Christ became on the cross was this: the bearer of the curse. The fact is, you can't possibly live by the law. And Jesus knew that. He lived everything. And when he said, "My hour has come," he knew the cross was ahead. And he went to the cross. And on that cross, the perfect, and the reason that Jesus could die on the cross is he was the perfect Lamb. He was the perfect sacrificial Lamb. But at some point when he was hanging on that cross, he became and took on the curse for you and for me. Cursed for the first time in his life, separated from the Father. He said, "Lord, I will take on the curse for the world." That shows you the severity of the law. That shows you the severity of, maybe I'll get into heaven if my good works outweigh my bad. Why would Jesus go to the cross if that was the case? He went to the cross because that is not the case. The case is, you cannot possibly please a holy and righteous and awesome God by what you do, because by what you do is filthy rags before a holy God. It is only by Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, who fulfilled everything that God spoke, thought, or in his realm of who he is. He did it all so that we would not have to. Think about this. The Son of God became the curse for us. He took it. He let people drive 9-inch nails through his hands and his feet. They put a crown of thorns. They mocked him, called him the King of the Jews. They lashed him. They beat him. And all because he wanted to have people have a relationship with God. For it is written, everyone who is hanged on a tree is cursed. The good news. The good news is this: Jesus broke the curse on the cross. From that breaking of the curse comes the blessing. So that in Jesus Christ, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through law? No, through faith. What in the world is the Apostle Paul talking about? What is Paul talking about? He's talking about this. He's talking about Genesis 12, 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, that was back before God changed his name, or Abram changed his name, however you want to look at it. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Listen to this. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have experienced the same faith that Abraham exhibited when God told him to get out of your country and go to a place that I will show you. That is salvational faith. That is when we trust in Jesus Christ, we are then connected with Abraham. And in the Old Testament, there is nobody higher than Abraham. This would have put a knife in the dagger, or the knife in the back of a Jew who was listening to this, because they believed Abraham was also their father. Earthly, maybe connected, but not spiritually. Every one of you that have received Jesus Christ this morning, you are connected to Abraham, the father of faith. That the blessing might come to the Gentiles. Let me summarize this today. Let me summarize it. Don't think that you can possibly please God by being a good person. Don't possibly entertain the thought that you could please God by thinking that you're a good person. That doesn't work. Now, let me say this. There's two ways that you can live your Christian life. You can live your Christian life out of fear, or you can live out of love. I work because I'm scared to death that God may not love me. I work from the other premise, that because God loves me, I want to be obedient to him. Right. Huge difference. Right. Huge difference. I know people that work because they are afraid that God is going to send them to hell. The only way that you go to hell, brothers and sisters, is if you reject the Holy Spirit. That is the only unpardonable sin. You choose to serve God out of love. And because God has implanted the Holy Spirit into your heart, the Holy Spirit begins to produce things in you that you could not otherwise produce. So that when God communicates with you, like Cassini communicated with NASA back and forth all those years, it was delayed, but they got it. They got the message. It was communication back and forth. God will communicate with you through your faith. Now, sometimes we may not like what God tells us, or sometimes we don't get what God tells us. But the fact is, you live this life by faith. And that should propel us. The indwelling Holy Spirit will produce works. Absolutely. You were created, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10. You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. But you do not work to get approval by God. Your approval by God is earned by Jesus Christ. Amen. Then you work because, not for salvation. And I wondered about this pastor that I listened to this week. Is he really in the faith? I'm not even sure you can believe that and be a Christian. Maybe I just shared one of my thoughts with the radio, but secondly, live by faith. If you read this word of God and God tells you to do something in the word, like love your neighbor as yourself, then then by faith live that command. I'm not telling you there's no commands in the Bible and that you shouldn't try to please him. I think I've made that pretty clear, that the Holy Spirit will produce things in you that you can. I don't love my neighbor. Well, of course you can't. But the Holy Spirit living through you can. And the Holy Spirit can give you the power to do it. Live by faith. I cannot stress this enough. Live by faith. And know this, that when you do make mistakes and you sin and you stumble and you fall, ask God to forgive you and keep moving. But you know what? There are times that we sin that we don't even know that we're sinning, but we sinned. Let me just say this. You're covered by the blood. You're covered by the blood. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, I pray this morning. I pray this morning that if there's one here that does not know you, that they will come to know you today.